Chapter 3 Flying Saucers. We have already explained that there are two primary earthly magnetic currents, an inflowing one and a radiating one. These currents move in spirals to great heights above the Earth and afterwards bend gradually out of their spiral course and take more vertical positions in respect to the Earth. Now imagine that a certain body from an enormous height comes into contact with the Earth's inflowing magnetic currents. Then we would see how this body would at first come rushing vertically towards the Earth, then gradually go into a spiral, that is, into a circular movement around the Earth, and so finally reach the Earth's body. If this body should then exclusively come into contact with the radiating magnetic current of the Earth's body, the same journey would be undertaken in the opposite direction. We have also tried to explain that besides the Earth's magnetism, totally foreign magnetic currents can be detected in the Earth's field, currents that can neither be attracted nor repelled by the Earth. These magnetic currents come from all the other celestial bodies of our solar system. They do have affinity with the Earth's magnetism because they belong to the great unity of the solar system in which the Earth too has a place. Yet due to the difference in vibrations and atomic structures, they experience little or no hindrance from each other's magnetic fields. In this way, all planetary magnetic currents reach one another by means of almost vertical radiations, although their angle of incidence varies. Similarly, it can also be explained how a body coming from one of the planets most remote from us, for example Neptune, being propelled by the radiating magnetic current of Neptune, can travel through the entire solar system to the Earth. Having arrived in the Earth's field, this body by some process or other will then change over to the inflowing magnetic Neptunian current. Then it will unfailingly undertake the return journey. Imagine subsequently that the various magnetic planetary currents were to be studied and their nature determined by a mankind on one of the planets, so that all the planetary magnetic formulae for all planets would finally be known. Let us then assume that it would succeed in constructing a device by which, using their own radiating current, they could overcome the attracting power of the inflowing magnetic planetary current, and then they would be able to calmly neutralize their own planetary attracting power, and likewise, totally controlling their own speed, they could calmly leave their own planet in a spaceship containing this device. This device could change over to the Earth's magnetic field and thereby, if desired, make horizontal flights across the Earth's surface. For the return journey, they could, with caution, change over to the inflowing current, to the attracting power of their own planet, and without the return journey taking the character of a fall, they could return again to their motherland. All this would happen without any explosive violence and without experiments affecting the fundamental basis of the solar system. Apart from the device in question, spaceships would be available whose structure and metal alloys would have to meet all requirements. Well, we have to tell you that various planetary mankinds possess the theoretical and practical knowledge to make and build such instruments and vessels. They already had this knowledge when the wrath in the dialectical universe was kindled. The stories of flying saucers throughout all ages and all that has come to our knowledge about them during the last years prove this fully. We lack the necessary technical scientific knowledge to give you a satisfactory explanation of the precise structure of the propelling device. We can give you at best an image of it as a layman sees it. As you know, electricity is a phenomenon that accompanies every magnetic current. Where there is a magnetic force, there is also electricity. That is why a gigantic electrical capacity that can never be exhausted is always present in the entire universe. Scientists of this Earth have demonstrated over the centuries with very poor instruments that it should be possible to pick up this atmospheric or cosmic electricity. Tremendous atmospheric electrical discharges are also known to have a disrupting effect on various instruments. Anyhow, the space travelers possess the knowledge and devices to pick up cosmic electricity wherever they may be and to concentrate it in relatively small spaces. assisted in this way. They create an electromagnetic field in and around their vessel. By making this field positive or negative at will, and in this way attuning it to their planetary north or south polar currents, they can leave their planet or they can travel towards it. The speed of their vessels depends on the increasing or decreasing of the electromagnetic field in question. When you also assume that they are subsequently able to attune their device to any other given planetary field, you can imagine that space travel is as simple for these entities as cycling is for us. For the technically minded person, many problems remain, of course, still unsolved. We certainly cannot give an adequate answer to every question because we, in the school, do not approach these problems from the technical point of view. We can, however, state with certainty that an entity knowing how to apply the electromagnetic current will thereby be able to solve many such problems. All this, and we emphasize this point, belongs entirely to the practice of the life waves in the dialectical realm of the nature of death. All atomic vandalism and all experimentation with atomic science is vandalism, communicates itself immediately to and manifests itself in the magnetic earth currents. Thus, cooperation in the solar system is disturbed. The solar system, as we saw, is one magnetic system. When Earth's mankind, driven by blind instincts, affects the foundations of the intercosmic system by causing heavy atomic bombardments or experiments with incomprehensibly high energies, for this is what it amounts to, the disorganization will communicate itself to all planets. Numerous chain reactions will result then in the suicide and the murder of all the inhabitants of the solar system. Of course, there are still many other causes of disorganization of the earthly magnetic field and consequently of the solar system, because every unholy condition of humanity brings with it such a consequence. Yet, where technology and the madness of science serve the unholiness, there the dangers are of highly alarming proportions. Although in all ages there has been talk of interplanetary visits by means of spaceships, in our time, such visits are the order of the day. Yes, we are convinced that at this moment not a second passes without large numbers of such vessels being present in our atmosphere. The question can now be asked, what are these vessels and their crews doing in our life field? Only looking, only investigating, filling us with dread by their presence? Do they threaten us with mass attacks? In answer to these questions, one could say, they do not have to look, because they know better than we do what is going on. Neither do they have to investigate, for from the past, they know what to expect when Earth's mankind is once again on the point of reaching the peak of its civilization. Neither can they fill man of the mass with dread, for such a man submits to and unconditionally follows his authorities. The authorities deny the phenomena, and the press and radio usually follow suit. Besides, the spaceships stay away as far as possible from the inhabited areas in order to attract the least possible attention. Moreover, there is no question of attacks, at least not for the time being, for any destruction, for instance, of the large quantities of various atom bombs already available would result in an immense disaster in the entire solar system. No, the continuous presence of spaceships in our atmosphere, all of which, however, do not originate from other planets, has a totally different explanation. The fact is that they are continually repairing the damage inflicted upon the Earth's magnetic field by the shocks and ravages of mankind. Starting from the Earth's magnetic poles, where they land incessantly, groups of spaceships are continually restoring and adjusting to purify and regulate the vibration of the inflowing and radiating currents, to rectify the shocked magnetic fields, and to feed them in order to safeguard the intercosmic household to the best of their ability. Thus, the spaceships do very beneficial work. Without their help, our world and the entire solar system would have long since had to end this day of manifestation. However, this work has in the main a purely self-protecting purpose, for all these entities are not able definitely to extinguish or destroy the unholiness caused by Earth's mankind. mankind itself must wipe out its karma. Therefore, the said cleansing of the Earth's magnetic atmosphere has to do with a concentration of all this unholiness. This concentration takes place at a point where the horizontal lines of force change to vertical ones. This concentration has now reached such proportions that it is almost visible while it is becoming ever larger and denser. You will understand that this creates a new danger, namely a concentration of intense wickedness, one that is doubly strong and dangerous. However, it also has a counterpart, for by the above-mentioned process, a concentration of the moral, mental, and religious qualities of mankind also takes place. Thus, a concentration of dialectical goodness appears beside and opposite to a concentration of wickedness. In a totally new sense, there is once again the question of these two concentrations in our epoch. Therefore, you will now understand why some say that two new moons have appeared in the Earth's field,